What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. I wanted to remind you all before we get into today's podcast that our bonus content, our draft guides, all of our rankings, and our tools to help you dominate your fantasy league are all available via the season pass on flockfantasy.com. Using promo code FSE, you will get the season pass for $34, not per month, for the whole season from now until January 1st when your fantasy season is over. And a reminder, you can get our draft guides for free by using promo code FSE on Underdog Fantasy. Make your first play. Within 24 hours, it'll be in your email inbox.
The fantasy football gods blessed you with the first or the second overall pick this season. And today we're going to break down exactly what you should be looking to do. Let's start it off very simple, Danny. In all formats, standard, half PPR, full PPR, it is two players. It is Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. The two of us both prefer Jahmyr Gibbs to Bijan, as great as they both are.
Do not overthink this. If you get blessed with the first or the second pick in your fantasy drafts, you got blessed with the opportunity at a 23 plus point per game projection running back. Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, in their prime, elite pass catchers, elite volume. I mean, you're not getting it better than these two running backs. And as much as I like some of the receivers on the board, you have to take these guys top two.
For sure. So the real decision point comes at the 2-3 turn, which, as you can see here, in green are the wide receivers that will be most likely to fall back to you: AJ Brown, Collins, Pickens, Rice, Malik Nabers, and Chris Olave. Now with the Jordan Tyson news, running back wise, with Jeremiah Love, Breece Hall both banged up, I'm willing to push up a Kyren Williams, but Danny is not willing to. It's going to look like a receiver is the best option. And of course, there's always the opportunity to take a onesie position like Brock Bowers if he falls. McBride and Allen were probably not pushing up the board to the 2-3 turn. So again, keeping in mind that you're going to already have a running back on your roster. Yes, you're probably going to get locked out of Devon Achane and Derrick Henry and Amari and Hampton, Chase Brown and Ashton Jeanty and those types of guys. But you are probably going to be looking at potentially taking two receivers, maybe deviating for a Bowers if he falls to you. Do you have anything else to really add to the decision point at the 2-3 turn, or is it kind of cut and dry for you?
No, this turn was a lot more fruitful before the Jeremiah Love high ankle sprain, before the Breece Hall groin injury. Now it's like the wide receivers, in my opinion, are very clearly over the running backs at this spot.
Yeah, and again, maybe you're watching this September 3rd and there's no real concern with Jeremiah Love's injury. There's no real concern with Breece Hall, but we are recording this on August 19th. And as of right now, those are concerns for people. The other part of that equation too is going wide receiver at that 2-3 turn opens you up to taking running backs at the 4-5 turn. Now, when you see who the best available players are, courtesy of our redraft rankings manifesto, you're going to see plenty more wide receivers. Like, you know, you see a falling Emeka Egbuka, Tetterell McMillan, Garrett Wilson, Ladd McConkey, Jalen Waddle. Most likely those guys will be off the board in sharper leagues, but Cam Scadaboo, Travis Etienne, Bucky Irving, Quinshon Judkins, DeAndre Swift, and those types of guys should be on the board for you there. Loveland and Jackson being kind of like the top end quarterback and tight end options that could be there for you. So again, the point of this early section is to kind of diagnose and understand what's going to be on the board. And we're going to do a mock draft later in the video, showcasing kind of our thought process when we get through the 2-3 turn and the 4-5 turn and into the later rounds.
Yeah, 100%. Once you get to that 4-5 turn, realistically, you're going to have plenty of options at both the running back and the receiver positions. General rule of thumb for us, and then we'll talk about it like Corey said in the strategy, but if you can leave your first five rounds with at least two running backs and at least two receivers, we like how it translates for the rest of the draft in terms of not having to catch up to the eight ball.
All right, so now we're going to go through basically and tier list the optimal strategies for each of these two positions. Again, at 1 and 2, it's going to be two running backs, Bijan and Gibbs, in whatever order you want to take them. So for me, the optimal strategy, as I detailed in the number one draft strategy video, is the full house. And the way that I execute it from this position is usually a running back with my first pick, two receivers with my second two picks, and two running backs with the 4 and 5 turn, because I really like the prospects of a Quinshon Judkins, of a Price, of a Henderson, of a Swift, of an Etienne, now with this Kamara news, those types of players. And that's my optimal strategy to run from the 1 or the 2 spot. Double hero RB, also very good for me because I'm willing to push up Kyren Williams to that third 301, 302 area. We'll see what happens with Love and Breece Hall. Hero running back, also equally valuable if you want to just go with the Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan hero. Elite tight end, a little bit more of a good strategy for me because I don't think Bowers falls in most cases. I don't think Loveland will fall to 4 or 5 in most cases. And even though I'm willing to take Trey McBride at 302, hypothetically, I don't really optimally want to do that. Robust RB could work, but because of these running back injuries, I think it's going to be less optimal right now. Elite quarterback, I'm not doing. I'm not pushing up Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson to the 4-5 and Allen Case to the 2-3. And then hero wide receiver, double hero wide receiver, that would require you to take a receiver with your first pick, which we're just not doing. And zero RB is just a horrible strategy from this position because that means you passed on Gibbs and Robinson, which you would never do.
And in terms of how I change the strategy list here, I fully agree actually that the full house would be the optimal strategy, whether it's two running backs and three wide receivers or three running backs and two wide receivers, having a balanced approach built around that anchor at running back with Bijan Robinson. Maybe you grab two wide receivers on the 2-3 turn and double tap running back on the 4-5, or vice versa. You grab your two wide receivers on that 2-3 turn, and then you split one running back and one wide receiver. Leaving your first five rounds with this full house strategy in mind, to me, makes the most balanced squads in fantasy football.
Yeah, for sure. Would you change anything kind of in the great or good categories? Do you think, I mean, for you, obviously Loveland is, you know, yeah, primo. So if you knew you were going to get him at 4-5, it would obviously become a great, if not maybe an optimal strategy for you. And also you're lower on Kyren than me, so that maybe knocks down the double hero strategy.
Yeah, I would say the only difference for me, because again, when we say double hero, we're kind of meaning like the Kyren Javonte plus range. Like I wouldn't consider a double hero being like, oh, I grab Bashal Tuten at the 4-10. He's my second running back. Therefore I'm running a double hero. I would kind of look at it like, oh, I'm spending either the 301, 302, or the end of second round pick on a running back. And with elite tight end, I have Brock Bowers a little bit higher than you do. And I also have Colson Loveland more so as a mid to late third rounder. So because with Colson Loveland, yeah, it's unlikely that he could fall to you. If he falls to you, I honestly think elite tight end is just the optimal strategy because he would be the best player on the board. To hedge the difference in terms of how likely he actually is to fall to you, I would actually place it in the great tier, because if Colson Loveland does fall, I think he's the best pick on the board at the 4-10. I have him in the mid third.
Yeah, exactly. Anything you would change down here with robust RB, elite quarterback, hero wide receiver, double hero wide receiver, and so on?
I think it looks pretty much where I would have it. Maybe robust running back with the elite quarterback, but you're picking hairs there. But I do agree, any hero wide receiver, double hero wide receiver, or zero RB strategies, not going to be optimal because you want to be building around Gibbs and Bijan.
Yeah, and again, one thing I should mention too is that in 8-10-man leagues, you know, tight end premium league, stuff like that, the elite tight end strategy is going to come as a more important strategy. In standard leagues, maybe robust RB moves up to good if you can get some falling running back values there. But generally speaking, we're doing this from a 10 and a 12 man mindset, half PPR and full PPR mindset for those of you guys wondering at home. And again, if you want all of our rankings, they can adjust to your specific league settings via our draft guide here. You can use promo code FSE over on Underdog, get signed up, deposit a minimum of $10, enter a draft, do a pick'em entry, and within 24 hours, you'll have access to our redraft rankings manifesto, our weekly start sit rankings, our 2026 projections, and our dynasty rookie draft guide. And of course, if you've already used our Underdog promo code before or another Underdog promo code, you can get it via the season pass over on Flock Fantasy. So now, Danny, we're going to actually show people our strategy in action with a sleeper mock draft first and then a Flock Fantasy mock draft second. All right, so we're now into the mock draft. Again, I'm going to be picking from the 2 spot. You're going to be picking from the 1 spot. We also do have our Flock Fantasy extension, which is available via the season pass. You can basically load in specific expert rankings. You can load in your specific draft sheet for your specific league settings. If you go to the site, basically, you can see that in my home league, it's a full PPR 12 team, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, and so on. And if my league were to be, say, a half PPR, I can adjust that and the rankings will adjust and so on there. So getting to the mock draft, Danny, you are on the clock with the first overall pick. We mentioned we have Jahmyr Gibbs basically as our top player. I'm assuming that's the direction you're going to go.
Yeah, top player, very simple, elite talent, elite offense, elite touch opportunity there. Every time we hear out of Dan Campbell's mouth is talking about Jahmyr Gibbs potentially taking that next leap. And this is a guy that was averaging literally 28 points per game without David Montgomery in the lineup in the past. So yeah, easy pick.
Yeah, and you guys can see too, it says who kind of is the best pick on the board by each expert, and you can sort by Zach's or FSE combined, which is the two of us. You can sort by sleeper ADP if you want to draft that way. I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson again. Very straightforward. He's just Jahmyr Gibbs, except on a slightly worse offense. You could argue maybe Bijan's a slightly better player even than Jahmyr Gibbs. But I do worry a little bit about the projection of the Falcons week to week. The Lions, we know, are going to be implied for 25 plus points pretty much every game.
Yep, 100%. But let's see what ends up falling to us at the back end of the second. Like we mentioned, the strategy portion, probably going to be good wide receivers here.
Yeah, and if I can pull up this graphic one more time, you can see at the 2-3 turn, we're not counting on Chase Brown, Hampton, all these guys being on the board. Because if that happens to you, run to the podium and take them, by all means. The double hero running back strategy becomes optimal probably at that point in time. But given that we're going to practice for sharper leagues, we're going to practice for, you know, leagues that are actually realistic to, you know, 12-man, half PPR, full PPR, sharp leagues. This is the decision point that you're going to have. You're going to have guys like AJ Brown. You're going to have Brock Bowers. You're going to have Nico Collins and so on. So I do actually have Brock Bowers on the board for me. I could go in that direction. However, my highest ranked player is Nico Collins. So that is going to be who I go with, and we'll see what kind of falls back to me at the 302.
Yeah, I think that was a very good pick there. Obviously, Brock Bowers at the end of the second is something that I personally probably can't pass on. Just the opportunity, even aside from tight end, for him to potentially even lead the league in targets. So love Brock Bowers here, especially in a home league setting. You know, two flex, two wide receivers. So not crazy in terms of the overall squad depth. Like if there's a three wide receiver, two flex, maybe I just go with the receiver there. But because I can trust myself at catching back up a receiver, I just think Brock Bowers at 212 was the clear value. I'm going to be back on the clock here and going to be a debate here. Chris Olave is the safe click, I would say. But Malik Nabers is the guy that I have highest ranked in my rankings. A little bit nervous in terms of the injury, but realistically, the upside alone, you have Gibbs, you have Bowers, threats to be number one at their position. Malik Nabers is healthy. I do think he has that threat too.
Yeah, and I was hoping I could get him with my second pick, especially knowing I already have Collins as my wide receiver one. I think he would have fit my team perfectly. I'm willing to take Trey McBride at the 302, but again, like to handle the 1Z position, the full house means that you fade both of them. And I think that the full house is the optimal strategy from the one and the two slot. So I actually even would have passed on Bowers myself. But I do understand, you know, he could outscore Collins and Nabers just purely, let alone at tight end and being the positional advantage there. So I'm going to go with what would be my highest ranked player. And that is, in fact, Chris Olave. But I could pull up Kyren Williams as well because he's my second highest ranked player. And I could operate more of a, you know, double hero RB start, but I'm going to go with Olave here because I think knowing that I'm picking before you in the fourth round, I should be able to get a good running back that I like there.
Yeah. Good decision in my opinion.
Yeah. And again, we didn't have Olave ranked here before the Tyson news. He was more kind of in that Igbuka Smith kind of range for most people. And then more in the Flowers Lamar range, as far as where he went in this specific mock draft for me. But now knowing that Tyson is going to be out at least 2 months, probably into week 5 through 8 of the regular season, I think that Chris Olave could truly start out as one of the best receivers in fantasy football. Loveland and Garrett Wilson both don't fall back to me. Again, the elite tight end strategy becomes a little bit more optimal if Loveland falls back to you at the 4-5 turn. I am on the board here with my highest ranked running back being Quinshon Judkins, the overall highest ranked player being Devontae Adams for, you know, domain and us combined via consensus. Given that you already have a tight end, I know I'm obviously not going to go in that direction. You're probably looking running back as well. And I know you're probably not going to take Judkins, but Tootin and those types of guys, I think it would be nice if one of them fell back to me again, because I do want to optimally run a full house here. And to do that, I need to take a running back. So Judkins, my highest ranked running back, is the guy that I'm going to take.
Yep. Very good pick. And you kind of spoiled it, but my next highest rated running back would actually be Bashaul Tootin. So I will be taking him here. A lot of upside at my RB2 spot behind Gibbs. And then, like you said, kind of still have to catch back up a receiver. My highest ranked one being Luther Burden. Sounds like he's going to be ready and healthy to go in week one. And I'm very optimistic on what this offense can end up being.
Yeah. And it's going to be hard for me to pass on Devontae Adams, man. He's just my highest ranked player in general. If I look at running back with this recent Kyle Menengai news, he's coming into the season a little bit banged up. I don't think it's going to linger insanely deep into the regular season. Like it might affect Kyle Menengai the first 2 to 3 weeks. So I'm not going to opt to go for the full house here. I am in fact going to take Devontae Adams. This league that we're doing is a two wide receiver, two flex, full PPR. And having Devontae Adams as my first flex, a guy that could threaten the league lead in touchdowns, to me is just too hard to pass up for a guy in DeAndre Swift, just for the sake of structurally drafting three running backs. I'm not going to go in that direction. I think Adams is clearly the better projection.
Yeah, I think you made a good choice there. You know, you got a lot of balance at that wide receiver, and you're not really worried about your running back depth because you have Robinson and because you have Judkins profiling into 20 touches per game.
Yeah, I'm going to get us out of the way here because I want to make sure that people can see the board and whatnot. But yeah, this is, I would say this is a pretty good start so far. The full house is also just kind of optimally being balanced. That's kind of the goal of the whole strategy. And I do get a gift here that unfortunately you are not going to get because I'm going to take him. Jadarian Price on Sleeper. We talked about this in the Sleeper strategy. He is very low in the ADP. So if you and your friends are going to draft off of Sleeper ADP for the most part, you're going to get a very good value of Jadarian Price. And that's something that I would really keep in mind, specifically if you draft at this position on the Sleeper platform, is that Jadarian Price might be on the board for you there with the 101 or with the 102 in the 6th, 7th turn. So I'm going to take Jadarian Price, and I am basically with a perfectly balanced three running back and three wide receiver start.
Yeah, and I'm finally going to pull the trigger on a guy that's been a my guy all offseason, a guy that I was drafting when he was in the 120s and the 110s and the 100s and the 90s. And it sounds like people are finally catching up to just the amount of upside that Jonathan Brooks has. I do think in a lot of leagues, he might not even make it to the 6-7 turn. He might be a mid-sixth, an early sixth round pick. And I do think the upside merits him being the pick here at the 6-7. Now I go at the wide receiver position. My next highest ranked receiver would be Brian Thomas Jr. Him and Christian Watson are close, but I will go with the upside of Thomas.
Damn it. I was hoping he would fall back to me. Now, because I already have, if you look at it, my starting lineup and my two flexes filled out, I could definitely opt to go for Justin Herbert or Sam Laporta, which would be my highest ranked quarterback and tight end respectively. But that would be if one player wasn't on the board, and that player is Marvin Harrison Jr., who I do have ranked as like a top 60 overall receiver. And especially knowing that, you know, in fantasy football, injuries happen, busts happen. I'm going to be one deep essentially on the bench as opposed to grabbing my quarterback and tight end here, because I do feel confident that my next pick, my 8-9 turn, I'll be able to get at least one of those onesies as my best available player. And Laporta did actually go off the board. I didn't even notice. He went at the 6 or the 5-12. So yeah, Marvin Harrison to me makes the most sense as the pick there. And hopefully I get a tight end or quarterback value falling back to me.
Yeah, we have a pretty balanced starts overall. The only difference, of course, in the Nico spot, you have an extra receiver, and I ended up taking my onesie early with Bowers.
Yeah, so on the board, you can see, again, some of these players coming off of the board. Kittle, the highest-ranked tight end on the board currently. Unfortunately, Justin Herbert did go, who definitely would have been my pick if he had fallen back to me. I might continue to fade one of these onesies because now that most of the league has a quarterback, I don't really feel obligated to just take one. Like, literally everybody after me on the way back has a quarterback, so I feel like I can actually fade the QB position. If I look at the tight end position, George Kittle would be certainly interesting. I was not super high on George Kittle this offseason, but knowing that he appears to be checking the boxes as far as, you know, back on the field, should be pacing to be ready for week one, I think I'm going to go with George Kittle with one of these selections. And then we'll see what kind of falls back to me at running back and receiver. I feel like I can get another good option there.
A little bit of a rookie move for you there, though, seeing that I have a tight end. Maybe you could have pushed him a pick.
Yeah, I guess I probably could have pushed him. I couldn't actually see the board at the time, so I probably would have done that.
Yeah, I know. I'm slightly trolling here. My next highest rated running back, though, and one that's, what, in my opinion, one of the best ambiguous backfields to target. I've taken my stance that I think Jordan Mason could be this year's Javonte Williams for a much improved Minnesota Vikings offense, offensive line getting healthier. You have a quarterback that can at least sustain offensive drives. And I think Jordan Mason is a perfect fit for the wide zone scheme that they're going to try to run in Minnesota this year. So give me him here at the 8-9 turn. And then with this other pick, I could take a stack. Obviously, I have Brian Thomas Jr. My highest rated quarterback is going to be Trevor Lawrence. But I honestly, my favorite strategy at this point in drafts is just kind of punting quarterback an extra pick and seeing what falls back to you at the next pick. I do think there's a receiver here that could really fill out my depth nicely. Again, we'll see what the injury news is on Quentin Johnson. But at the time of recording this, it sounded like the injury wasn't too significant. So I think at the 9-1, I'm getting decent value.
Yeah, and QJ and Addison both were two of my biggest targets on that turn. So like you said, I probably could have just taken one of them with my 8-11 and punted Kittle to my next pick. So a little bit of a rookie mistake for me. But Jordan Addison is going to be my selection here, going another deep at the wide receiver position. We are only going to do 10 rounds, as I made reference to. So for the purposes of aesthetic, Danny, we probably should take our quarterback here just because we want to make sure that everyone kind of understands what the strategy is. But we are seeing some league mates of ours here take second quarterbacks, which in a sharper league probably wouldn't happen. We'll see what ends up happening here. And Bo Nix, of course, gets absolutely freaking perma-sniped from me on the board. Again, if this were a real league, I probably would take a quarterback here, especially knowing all my league mates are taking second quarterbacks. I don't want to be completely locked out. And the quarterback that is on the board is a tier break for me. So I will take Jared Goff here as my quarterback. But again, in a real league, I think Nix, Purdy, Lawrence, some of those guys would have fallen back to me knowing that my league mates had already taken a quarterback.
Yeah, and you outlined it for the purpose of the video. I will take a quarterback, but just know if I'm in this spot and I see every other league mate pretty much has a quarterback and some league mates have two, I would even punt the quarterback position to round 13, round 14, even round 15, just kind of seeing how long I can get away with it. Because realistically, if a lot of these teams have their quarterbacks filled out, what's the likelihood of them actually taking Kyler where his ADP is, actually taking Jordan Love, Tyler Shuck where their ADPs are? Of course, we're going to give you the realistic look because we don't want an empty lineup at the quarterback position, but just know in a real draft, I would be punting even further. For the purpose of the video, though, Kyler Murray.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is that like in some leagues, people are going to do this, right? So I've been in leagues where people go, I need a quarterback, fill in for my bye week and all that kind of stuff. And people do that. So it's something to keep in mind, understand your league settings. In sharp leagues, no one would do that, but in casual leagues, they will. You guys can see my team there, Bijan Robinson, Nico Collins, Chris Olave, Judkins, Adams for my first six picks. I grabbed Price in the sixth round there. I feel very confident in my two wide receiver spots, my two running back spots, and my two flexes. And then I grabbed Marvin Harrison, Jordan Addison to help fill out my bench. In the later rounds, I would probably fill up on some handcuffs and some bench stash at running back. Maybe I'd grab a Tank Dell or Jacoby Lane to stash on my bench at wide receiver as well. And then Kittle and Goff, I feel very good with those two onesies. And maybe I would take a shot on a Kincaid or something in round 12 to just really help out with Kittle because he's coming off of an injury. But overall, I feel good about my team, and we'll show you guys kind of what a little bit more of a sharper draft room looks like in a second on the site.
Yeah, and in terms of my team, a very similar structure. We each got our heroes up top with Gibbs and Bijan. Very simple, top two picks for a reason. I end up getting my elite tight end with Bowers, a guy that I would be comfortable taking upwards of the 2.9, the 2.10. Falls to me at the 2.12. You got to take the value where it falls. Malik Nabers, he's got the injury concerns. He's got the offensive concerns. But as we know, when he's healthy, he's a threat to lead the league in terms of target share. And for an offense that's probably going to be playing from behind a lot, I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged 10, 11 targets per game. Bashal Tuten, a lot of upside, RB2, taking my shot on the Liam Cohen running back. Burden, you guys know my thoughts. Chicago Bears offense, I'm all in on. I really love the talent that Burden represents. Jonathan Brooks, upside to be the RB1 for the Carolina Panthers. Chuba Hubbard week to week, and I think he runs away with that job. Brian Thomas Jr., Jordan Mason, filling out my depth. Quentin Johnson, okay, so I will say one thing. If I knew that the other teams in the league would take their quarterback twos, would take their quarterbacks like in a row there, what, six went off before my next pick, probably would have taken Trevor Lawrence and a receiver in the 10th. If you know your league is like that, where they do take backup quarterbacks, maybe in my spot that you do take Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you'd probably need to know that everybody's going to take a backup quarterback also, not just like one or two tacos that are in your league. So again, this was kind of the more casual ADP sleepers, a little bit more exploitable. We'll show you quickly kind of a mock draft that we do on the site that's a little bit more of a sharper ADP room, and you can kind of just adjust based on, is your league sharp or isn't your league sharp? So we'll quickly get into that. So this would be a better example of more of a sharper room. You guys can see this time I was at the one. I go with Gibbs, Nabers, Rice. Again, taking kind of that wide receiver value that we talked about at the 2-3 turn area. I grab Judkins and Swift, completing my full house. Sam Laporta, Michael Pittman, Bo Nix as my top options there. And then Danny ends up going with Bijan Robinson, Collins, et cetera there.
Yeah, I feel really good about the team. Very similar to the sleeper mock. Want to be balanced throughout. Bowers obviously goes off the board prior to the turn. So rather than the sleeper mock where I took him, he's off the board by the 208. So I kind of did more of your strategy from the first mock.
For sure. So that is the end of the video. Hopefully you guys got some value from it. Just a quick picks one and two strategy, what we're looking to do, the tier breaks we're hoping to hit. Again, if you guys want specifically our ranking so you can kind of follow the players we have ranked the highest, you can get that via the season pass, which of course comes with the in-draft assistance for Sleeper, ESPN, Yahoo, whatever platform you might be playing on. Also the draft sheets if you guys are playing in more, you know, complicated league settings. Or you can get access to that for free by signing up on Underdog with promo code FSE. When you make your first $10 deposit and play on the site within 24 hours, you will get emailed from Underdog with access to everything you guys can see on the screen. So if you enjoyed the video, leave a like, subscribe to the channel if you're new around here. But with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.